Let's put it to his manager, one of the biggest and most influential managers in the country is Paul Connors, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Welcome, Jake.
Thanks, Gary and Tim. I don't always come on, but I just thought I'd put it to bed quickly. I haven't even heard the quote, but young David gave me a little bit of a rundown on what went on. Look, Johnny's coming back from three knees, so unless you're in his shoes, no one can say what it's like to be in to have three knee reconstruction. So physically, if you want to say when was he ready, it's always probably about 12 months. But his housemate, Steve Canilio, he went down, did his, hurt his knee. It wasn't a knee. That spooked him no end. And I think David said there's a standoff. There's no standoff. He was probably ready, if you want to say, 4 weeks ago. But mentally, that's just as important, as physically. And that's what Julian Feller would say to John and to us. And they're all happy that he... Yeah.
We understand that. Jackie, let's have a listen to Sammy last night and we'll put a couple of questions to you. Here's Sam McClure last night on Time On.
Greater Western Sydney number one draft pick, Jonathan Patton, it seems has placed his AFL career on hold pending what is a near certain trade to Hawthorn at the end of the season. Now, Patton has been absent from both senior and from NEAFL grade football for the last month, despite the fact that he has been training fully. Now, the Giants are aware of this, and it's an intriguing standoff, which is becoming increasingly difficult.
So there's the story in a nutshell from Sam, and I understand your perspective, and I get it totally. 3D reconstructions.
There's no standoff. That's all I would say. So if Sam ran the, love Sammy, there's just no standoff. It's a mutual discussion.
Have they wanted him to play?
About 5 weeks ago, we all would have been getting excited that he was ready to play. And then he did pull up a bit sore a couple of times. So he went down and saw Julian, and I think between everyone, there's been good dialogue that they're all comfortable where it sits. And then his housemate did the knee, and that scared him no end. So I think Wayne Campbell and the team have handled it superbly, because he may get traded, but he's contracted to the footy club, and there's every chance he could be there. And the last thing John needs, he needs, is to get injured again. And we've seen that. We saw that with a number of people coming back a bit earlier. Then I think it's really well managed, to be fair. And I'm just been an observer, really, Gary.
So, good morning, Paul. So you haven't given him the advice not to play in any way because of the possibility of doing a trade out of GWS?
No, and don't get me wrong. He's got, 6 months to get better physically, mentally, everything, coming back from what he's come back from. And if he just... Don't forget, he could also be at the GWS. So for both parties, it's a win, I think. The last thing we need is for him to be hurt. And sometimes you do get hurt when you're not switched on 100%, even at training or playing. So I'm supportive of how they've both managed it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think I'm really glad you came on, Jake, because the story... So I think what Sam's story is right is that he's been okay and physically right, but pragmatically, from both the club and Jonathan's point of view, if he's psychologically not quite there, then the risk of coming back for both club and player, if it is in fact on the trade market, is maybe too great.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And he's been training, but just not doing everything as well. So he has got the loads in that are probably ready to play, but... I don't think it's the biggest story in town, but I think it's half right, and as long as everyone knows, everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, it's an interesting story given where we're at in terms of the trade period being just around the corner, and he being someone who's going to be of obviously considerable interest to the Hawthorn Footy Club.
And Paul, I know you don't want to do your negotiations via the media, but in terms of where Jono is at, would you think that he would be wanting to move away from GWS, or has he not reached that point yet?
He was one of the first draft pick with Steve Canilio. He loves Sydney. He loved the club, his relationship with Dave Matthews is second to none. I see him ending up working for the club a bit like Jamie Charman did at Brisbane, but it might be that their forward line's a bit packed and he might need an opportunity, but he'll look at that at the end of the year, and he's totally supportive of what the Giants are trying to do in the final series as well.
And, Paul, last night, I know that Steve Cornelio is not your player, but Al Clarkson spoke about him last night, the fact that he has had a chat face-to-face with Steve Cornelio about the possibility of going to the Hawks. In terms of, you know, that raises a lot of people's eyebrows in this game about whether or not that should be taking place, but it happens all the time, does it not, that these types of conversations are going on between players and coaches, even though they may be contracted to another club?
I think what happens sometimes is, and there's been another window because Steve's been injured, so I probably assume it's happened in the last month. I just prefer it does happen, but we don't need to really talk about it too much. And overall, I continue to say we've got the greatest game, the most loyal players, and, on the whole, players are terrific, and I think clubs are, and everyone's really respectful. So our game's in a pretty good state.
So great to talk to you, mate. As we let you go, really appreciate it. You can just confirm there's no deal done or no deal in place for John Paton and the Hawthorn Footy Club?
No deal yet.
You're a good man. Appreciate you taking our call.
No dramas. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Paul.
It was great news yesterday, Wisp, when this came across the desk, a young man whose name is synonymous with the Carlton Footy Club, but we shouldn't even mention his old man or his granddad, and I already have, because he's making his own way in the world, and that's a great thing. Jack Silvani has committed for a further 2 years with the Blues, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. Jack, congratulations.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me. No, it's super exciting, and I'm wrapped to be staying at the Blues for another couple of years.
You've been there for the dark times and a footy club that has struggled and with obvious reason, but now you can see the resurgence. You must just get up and bounce into work these days.
No, absolutely. I mean, even as a supporter, it's been a pretty lean period for us over a number of years now. But I think the way we've been playing under Teague the past sort of, I think, 10 weeks, it's a brand of footy that people want to come watch, and us as players are really enjoying playing it and playing under him. So, it's exciting times at the moment.
Good morning, Jack. And it seems that he believes in you too, which is really important for a player.
Yeah, I mean, Teague's instilled a lot of faith in me. I've obviously been able to get a few more midfield minutes. I've had a few tagging roles too early on under his tenure as well. So I guess that's exposed me to a new area and I guess added another string to my bow so that I don't sort of pigeonhole myself to that half forward spot. It gives me another avenue to find the footy and help the team, and it's probably led to me playing some of my my best footy over the past few weeks.
You seem like you are playing your best footy. It seems like you're more confident about yourself when you're out there as well. Do you think that you could possibly, after another really strong preseason, push your way into that midfield?
I'd like to. I probably at this stage don't see myself as a full timer in there because we've got such a strong midfield and great young kids coming through like Zach Fisher and Samo Petrovsky-Seaton, who's been playing off half-back at the moment. Will Setterfield's the same. So I think with the players we've brought in over the past few years, we've actually got a lot of midfield depth. I'd obviously like to play a part in the midfield at some stage, but I guess sort of form dictates that, and I'll just do whatever I'm told from Teague.
Hey, Jack, you know, during the year when that conversation was taking place about you and the speculation about whether or not you were going to stay at Carlton and whether or not the best thing for you would be to move out of Carlton because of the association with your family name, that type of thing, were you aware of all that at that time?
I was definitely aware of it, but I didn't really acknowledge it much. There's always going to be naysayers and people who doubt you, and that's sort of been prominent throughout my whole career thus far. And I never really wanted to leave Carlton. I've loved the club since I was born, and obviously that family connection means a lot to me. So I never really wanted to leave, and it didn't really cross my mind.
I don't think it was even so much as naysayers or doubters. I think they were looking at it from your own perspective, that after being there for a number of years, if you couldn't lock a spot down, whether or not for your footy, you'd look elsewhere. But I don't think anyone in footy wouldn't be anything other than thrilled that you have been able to secure it and the two-year extension. You spoke to us a couple of... I think it was last year you came in and sat down and we asked where you wanted to play. And in your own mind, you thought that sort of midfield role was something that you were working towards. Is that still how you see it?
Yeah, I think, as I said before, I'd like to get in there. And obviously, sort of Cripper's handling a big load in there. So I think if I can sort of give him a spell, it'd help us. And it sort of gives me a look in too. So that's something I'll definitely work on over the pre-season and speak with the coaches about. And it's definitely an avenue I'm looking into.
Hey, Jack, Daisy Thomas, we know now that he won't be offered another contract, so he's out at the end of this season. He was excellent at the weekend, by the way. What are you going to miss by not having Daisy Thomas around your footy club?
I think... His energy is infectious. He's a great teammate, and I think all the people who have played with him will attest to that. He sort of builds a bubble around the joint, and it just makes you smile. But playing with him, his effort is undeniable. He always gives 100% and attacks the contest with vigour. And I think the way he's been playing, particularly last week, days is a testament to his character and the people he's around, because you know it could have been pretty hard to get up, and he could have dropped the bottom lip, but as you said, he was one of the spots on the weekend. So
The Hyundai must be going under a bridge or down the bottom of a hill at the moment. Just see if you can get yourself back into a better spot there, Jackie boy. What about the noise that came through during that game? Late, you know, it was tight late in the game when big Levi Casbolt took that big intercept mark that sort of iced it. That was a roar that I'm not sure you would have heard too often.
Nah, the crowd's been unbelievable. I mean, I think against Adelaide too, it was so loud, but I think we had 50,000 on there on the weekend. It was incredible. I mean, the fans have come out in droves over the past few weeks. And we've all been enjoying it. It's something we've definitely noticed as players and spoken about during the week. And, you know, if we keep playing like this and bringing people out, it'll be something to see.
What do you think about, Jack? You probably have already started to think as a group about the possibilities of next season. Do you think you're capable of a group? And we've seen what the Brisbane Lions have done from, you know, last season to this season. Do you think you're capable as a group of replicating that?
Oh, we don't really want to put a limit on what we can achieve or a ceiling. I think over the pre-season with Teague coming in, we'll tweak a few things. And I think with our improvement that we've shown so far this year, there's no reason sort of why we can't keep doing that. So we're not sure what we can achieve next year, but... hopefully we keep this rate of improvement up, and we'll see where that takes us.
A little bit of off-season travel for you, Jackie boy. What's the summer got for you?
Yeah, a few of the boys are heading over to Europe, so we'll go over there for a couple of weeks, and I'll probably go up to Noosa again for a week or so and travel around a bit, so looking forward to it.
Italy, Italy, just the Silvani name, huge in Italy, I tell you what.
It's massive in Italy, the Silvani, man. I'm not going to Italy this time. I'm going to go watch the last test of the cricket in London. So catch the last couple of days of that and hopefully watch the Aussies get a win.
Bit hard to get into your speedos at London. I mean, you like to get in the old dick stickers and get out on the beach.
Yeah, I know. I might visit a couple. I'm visiting Mykonos, going to Croatia, so I'll travel around a bit. I'll get the sun.
Very nice to talk to you. Well done. The two-year contract extension is well-deserved, and it's onwards and upwards for the Carlton Footy Club.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Great to have you with us this morning. The good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian-owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. It's a big, warm welcome to Liam Pickering, manager to the Stars. Hello, Gary. Nice to see you, Tim.
Good to see you, boys.
Congratulations to you. You've got your man in there.
It was terrific for Teague, wasn't it?
Yeah, so well received. It was a beautiful press conference. Were you at the press conference?
No, I didn't go to the press conference. No, I didn't.
Didn't get invited or?
I don't tend to go to press conferences.
Well, he's your man.
I know, but I've been to one.
Sat back with your pipe in the back corner and just...
No, I've only ever been to one, and that was the Gary announcement to the Gold Coast. That's the only ever one.
It must have come with a rush at the end there, did it? Because I sent a text message to you and you dutifully responded, and honestly, I would have thought at the time.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because, it happened very quickly because we had a meeting with Kane Little and Brad Lloyd, so the CEO and the general manager of footy, on Monday morning at 11 o'clock. And we started talking in a general sense, just hypothetically, what would it look like if he was to, what would your expectations be salary-wise, if it was to go? There's a lot of the ifs. And, well, what the market would pay an untried assistant coach.
The North Melbourne market or the other markets?
What the market would pay an untried assistant. Untried coach, I should say. So we went through that, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Spoke to Teague. He said, they're starting to talk numbers now. It's interesting. Very, very, very something to watch here. And then a follow-up the following day, we had an agents conference and a few phone calls.
That's when you were with us. That was Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so later that day, a few discussions with Brad Lloyd again. And then it just seemed to catch fire on Wednesday. And I think they had told him on about lunchtime.
On Wednesday.
And I found out, I got a couple of missed calls from Jake Nolan and then a couple of text messages and saying that they're going to announce Teague tomorrow, and it was news to me, which I didn't know.
Well, thankfully, because the Wisp has been in unbelievable news-breaking form, said it won't be. Last week, having spoken to you, said it won't be announced this week.
Oh, I didn't think it would. I'll be honest.
No, and I believed you.
I didn't think it would. And then it just happened very, very quickly. And then Teague called me about 5 o'clock and said, yeah, well, it's happened. Mm. So there you go. It's great for him, and it's been a long journey. He's only a young man still, but he's been a long journey, and he's deserved what he's got a good CV.
He stacks up though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's where initially there was a temptation, I think, from Carlton people to say, we've got to get a big name. We've got to get the big name. Mm. And big names just haven't worked in the last couple of goes they've had it, have they? I mean, Pagan didn't work. Malthouse didn't work. So you got someone who's put together a CV not unlike Alistair Clarkson's when he took over at Hawthorn. You know, he'd worked with you. He'd gone and coached his own team. He'd done all the things that Teague's done and wasn't the biggest name as a player. He was a good player, Teague.
Yes.
Tough player.
He won a best and fairest at Carlton.
Won a best and fairest at Carlton. Won the most courageous player in the AFL by the players and all that stuff. But he wasn't your household Michael Voss, named James Hurd, that type of player. Even Brett Ratton, for that matter, who was a gun player. So I just thought it was a very mature decision from the club. And they got to see him on the job for the best part of nine weeks before they announced him.
There was a period of time there where the caretaker or the coach who wanted – the aspiring coach was loath to take the caretaker role because it was seen to me a poison chalice. Now, on the back of these two
– well, you'd be screaming with your hand up saying, pick me, I'll be the caretaker, especially if you don't have 3 weeks. Mm. I mean, if it's the last 3 weeks of the season, you're not going to get a lot out of it. When you're coaching for – basically half a season, it gives you a good long look at the coach.
It would have been unfair to ask you this question before because of what was going on, but now the comment by Chris Judd, who was the football director there and part of the selection panel, when he said that David Teague was still on training wheels, what did you think at the time about that?
It didn't really concern me all that much because I sort of understood the position he was coming from. I don't think he said David had training wheels. He just answered a generic question, which was, we're probably not in the market for a coach with his training wheels on. I mean, it wasn't directly David.
But he was specifically talking about David Teague.
Yeah, well, I think he was making a general point about untried coaches at that stage, more so than David. But
he's talking about David.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, my view, it didn't really worry me all that much. I thought it was a silly comment, but I didn't think it was going to affect David's. He was one voice of guys that were working, like a Brad Lloyd, who worked with him every day. He's at every one of his meetings.
Yes.
He presented the board 3 times in that period.
How many times was he interviewed specifically? I think somebody mentioned 8 times.
Yeah, he had a number of discussions.
Psychological testing, all that sort of stuff.
I don't know whether they did that, whether they got right into all that. But, I mean, as I said, it all goes back to what they were actually watching in a on a day-to-day basis, his interaction with his staff, his interaction with the rest of the staff in the joint, the coaches, the players, his game style, the way that their players are responding, his own personal mindset. I mean, he's a very measured guy, and nothing much changes with Teague. He's got a hard edge to him, don't worry about that. But I think he leaves the players in no doubt where they're at. He's empowered the other assistants, which is something I think they would desperately
want. All of those assistants will stay there at Carlton?
Well, I don't know what their contractual positions are, but all I know is that he empowered them to go, look, Johnny Buckey, you're the forward coach or whatever they are. You're the forward coach, midfield coach. You go and do it. You know what you're doing. I've worked with you the last 2 years.
Do your job.
Yeah, you do your job. You know what you're doing, Cam Bruce. So I think they really embrace it too, and the players certainly have.
Right, so we were talking about this, that had he not sort of fallen into the caretaker, would he have been a target for other clubs? Maybe, maybe not. We suspect maybe not, but that could be wrong. Is there anyone else in your ranks that you've got who would be a surprise candidate for a job that perhaps no one's thought of as yet?
Well, my guys, I think, that are ready to coach. Jade Rawlins is ready to coach. Jade Rawlins, coach tomorrow. In my view, he's done a really long apprenticeship.
Do you think he'd be a really good coach?
I do. Right. Yeah, I think he'd be really good. I'd have no issues with him. I think he's ready to go. Henry Playfair? Yeah, he's very, very sharp.
Has Henry coached in his own right, though?
Yep.
Yeah, because I think that's an important component about it.
Sydney's NEAFL team to a premiership.
Right, okay.
So, like Shorey, he coached like Shorey did in the NEAFL, the Sydney Swans reserves team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Henry would be very, very good, very smart guy.
Has he got the... no, you don't need that now. I mean, David Teague, in terms of the charisma and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that's...
Oversold.
A bit oversold, yeah. I do. So our guys are probably, yeah, those two definitely. And then you've got younger ones that I think will be very, very good coaches. You know, your Darren Glass types. Mm. Guys like... Darren Glass, sorry. Who am I thinking of? I'm lost my train of thought.
So, and what about... Have you got players within your playing...
Oh, Troy Chaplin was the other one I was thinking of, who's only a couple of years in, but he's very, very sharp.
You got players within your playing ranks coming towards the end of it who have said, you want to be a coach and have started that journey or not?
Not right here at this current time. Look, I think Jordan Lewis would have a lot to offer if he wants to be a coach. I think he's got that toss-up of the media career, which he's very good at. But I think he would make an excellent coach. I've got guys that are coaching in other competitions, like Adam Snyder's a very sharp operator at the Giants. You've got guys like guys that are just actually out there, like Paul Chapman coaching his own team, but doesn't want to get back in the AFL at the moment because he's happy with his builder and his...
We interviewed Chris Main a pre-game. He's not one of your players, I don't think.
No.
He was so open about the fact he wanted to be a coach.
Like Chris Main?
Already preparing himself.
I'm preparing exactly like this. I'm doing all this. And if I'm not coaching, I'm going to be a teacher because that's what I want to do. I thought it was really good.
I've never heard a player speak so directly about that as what he did at that time, though.
Well, I wanted to be a coach when I retired. I retired knowing that's what I was going to do. And I went and coached at the Western Jets and then fell into management. Because Johnny Longmire was in the management and he went into coaching. It was like sliding doors.
So what happened with the coaching?
Well, I just got approached when Longmire took the role left IMG and went to Sydney. Mm. I'd met Chris a few times, who's a great mate of mine now, but he was the boss of the client division and said, well, I need someone to, come give your mate a call. So I said, Horse, what are you calling me for? He said, I think he's going to talk to you about my job. I said, I don't want it. And then knocked it back, and then a month later he came at me again. So
and then you became one of the best deal makers in the business.
Well, that was 18 years ago.
Timing is everything, okay? One of your clients, Josh Dunkley, is playing out of his skin.
He is.
Unfortunately went and extended his contract before he started playing out of his skin. Can you go back and revisit it now?
In the words of Dumb and Dumb, I didn't even see it coming.
That might be the reason.
Boy, Christmas. No, I did. I actually did see it coming because he finished the back end of last year.
Yeah.
When he was playing inside mid, he came home like a steam train last year, finished top five in their BNF. Earlier this year, he was playing in the forward flank and the pocket and this sort of thing, and he wasn't getting any midfield minutes. It's like Beveridge, after about round 8 or 10, just said, you know what? McRae inside mid, Pontempelli inside mid, Dunkley, bang, just go and get it done in the middle. And that's what they've done, and the whole season's turned around the back of those blokes.
Did you put a call in and say, listen, you've got one of the great inside mids. You're playing him in the pocket. Get him in the middle. Is that what happened? That's what I heard.
No, that's not what happened.
That's what a manager's supposed to do.
Yeah.
No,
and if you didn't do that, you'd been derelict in your duties.
No, I had a number of discussions with their football department about his contractual situation.
You're onto something.
I was quite miffed that he hadn't been playing on the ball. I might have said that to Sammy Power, that I'm a bit surprised that he hasn't had a run on the ball.
So are you now accepting responsibility for the Bulldogs turn around their season?
That's exactly what he's doing. And it didn't take much to get out of him either.
No, I don't.
35 seconds.
We didn't go early. I mean, I'd like him to be hanging out there still.
Would you expect... Okay, give us an insight to this. Give us an insight into the relationship. Would it be practical and reasonable? Just say, I don't know what you're signing for. And does it happen where the Western Bulldogs turn around, ring you up and say, hey, Pickers, listen, in the interest of fairness, you came in, we got him cheap given what he's done. We want you to come back in because we want to give him more money.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Why should? Well, of course that should happen.
It does happen. Yeah. They redo contracts. I highly doubt it if it hasn't even... This new contract hasn't kicked in yet. And it's not a bad deal. Don't worry. It's a good deal.
And yeah, you're building,
it's a good deal. But he's playing to a level that's even better than
that.
Well,
if he wins a Brownlow, for instance, which, just say he was...
That would be incentivised.
We got incentives in his contract, of course.
Yes, but going forward, surely they'd have to revisit them.
Well, there's not a club in the AFL that doesn't re-look at contracts if a player's massively unders. He's not massively unders anyway.
No.
But what I'm saying is that he's...
Because otherwise you're vulnerable to an opposition club coming in.
Well, that's the reason Geelong lost Gary Ablett.
Right.
It's exactly the reason. Mm. He'd signed a 5-year deal with his previous agent when he was 20, and he wasn't even the highest paid player at Geelong, and he was the best player in the AFL by as far as you kick your hat.
So it was his other agent's fault.
Of course it was.
The Pickers pumped himself up again. It's extraordinary.
I don't pump myself up, but the fact was that the Cats couldn't move on their contracts because they were in that window where they were damn good and they weren't going to lose a player. Mm. They just weren't prepared to lose one. So basically they said, well, if we give Gary what he's worth, that means we're going to have to lose Chapman or Kelly or Bartell or one of them, and we don't want to do that because it's going to cost us a chance to win the flag. So I understood it. But it left him very vulnerable when he was, I think, well unders for the last 3 years of his contract.
A lot of people think you might be pumping yourself up a little bit.
I'm not pumping myself up.
I'm just going by the feedback that's coming through.
There's no feedback.
There's a lot of feedback.
Oh, there's none.
You've just leapfrogged Malcolm Blight in the votes. Oh,
that's impossible.
Nah, Pickett is a legend.
Said
by Kyle Dunkley.
Don't be surprised if Henry Playfair is at Hawthorn as an assistant next year. What say you?
I haven't heard that. That's news to me.
Okay. I've heard that from you before.
I don't think so. I haven't heard the Henry to Hawthorn. He's contracted to the Saints, but he's a very sharp operator.
Right. We'll let you just regather yourself.
You guys come in here.
We flustered.
I feel like Steve Smith facing Joffre Archer.
We've flustered you.
It's a bit of an uneven deck. He's bowling 96 mile an hour.
Do you manage Tom Papley?
Nah. Oh. I like the little smear, though. He's good.
No, you can't say that. 16 minutes past 8.